I share with the board members this week that probably this has been one of the biggest struggles in my 28 years of ministry. It's just really been asking the Lord what direction to go after we got done with the seven churches in Revelation, and I have been studying several different things, 1 Thessalonians and Titus, a little Hebrews, looked at a couple different books, and it felt like God was closing the door on all those things. In the back of my mind, just kept bringing to my mind this series on the Beatitudes. I want to share with you how this series came about. It's the last series I preached at Deckerville, where we pastored before this. And we all have in our lives individuals that we very much respect. And we place sort of in a category of those that have invested in our lives, made a difference in our lives, and we respect them and we hold them in high regard. And near the top of that list for me is Warren Wiersbe. I just love his books and love to read his books, and I've had the opportunity on two different occasions to sit down and talk with him. I think I've probably shared with you when I was at college, struggling in the direction God was taking me. And my guidance counselor said, I want you to meet with two guys for lunch. He didn't tell me who they were. It was during Bible conference week, and so he'd arranged for a three-hour lunch for me to sit down with Warren Wiersbe and Howard Hendricks. And I wish I could do that today. I would have a lot longer list of questions and would be a little more specific in the conversations, but I just appreciate both those men. But as I sat down with Warren Wiersbe, I saw his heart lived out. And I just appreciate that. And many years ago, probably about 40 years ago, as he was pastoring a church, he preached through the Beatitudes. And a lot of people in his church said, Pastor Wiersbe, you ought to put that into a book. And so he did. And a number of years ago, somebody gave me a copy of that book. And that's where this series comes from. So I'm going to tell you right up front, a lot of what I'm going to share with you comes from Warren Wiersbe, and I don't take credit for it. But it's God's truth, and it's truth that we need to hear. And as you study the Beatitudes, you can look at the Beatitudes two different ways, and both are correct because you see them both. You can look at the Beatitudes through the lens of the millennial kingdom and interpret things in that way, or you can look at them through the lens of the here and now, and how does it apply to us? So for this series, we're going to do the latter. We're going to look at the Beatitudes, and how does it apply to us today? Does it make a difference in our lives where we are? And notice you don't have an outline this morning. We're just going to lay the groundwork for this series, as we're going to go through for several months. And the title this morning, Are We Walking or Riding? I don't care what time of day it is. If you go home pretty much any time of the day and turn on the TV, you can find some sort of a talk show. Some are very conservative, some are extremely liberal, and everything in between. Imagine if you had the opportunity to host one of those, and you could have King Solomon come on your talk show. 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 31 describes him this way. He was wiser than all men. He was wiser than all men. Think about his credentials. Solomon wrote over 1,000 songs. He's the author of 3,000 proverbs. He could intelligently talk about trees and animals and birds and insect and fish. You look at his writings, he can talk about buildings and building projects, horses, money. Obviously, he's written quite a bit about women and some of the struggles and some of the joys therein. You know, he was a keen observer of the world around him. And he would learn lessons and things that a lot of us would observe and we wouldn't take any interest in it. We wouldn't see anything in it and be no significance to us. One day as he was sitting and looking out the window, he observed something and he recorded it in his journal. Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Ecclesiastes. We're going to look at several different verses this morning. We're not going to get in depth into anything. Again, we're just laying the groundwork. But Ecclesiastes, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, in case you don't go there very often. In Ecclesiastes chapter 10. Ecclesiastes chapter 10. And look with me at verses 5 through 7. He records for us, "There's an evil I have seen under the sun, like an error which goes forth from the ruler. Folly is set in many exalted places, while rich men sit in humble places. I have seen slaves riding on horses, and princes walking like slaves on the land." Notice verse 7 again. "I have seen slaves riding on horses, and princes walking like slaves on the land." Now, princes were supposed to ride on horses, and the slaves were supposed to walk beside them and lead them. But Solomon saw the situation reversed. You know, the world was sort of upside down. It didn't make sense, and it hasn't changed for the better today. You know, it hasn't improved. You know, take, for example, this marvelous machine we call the human body. God made our bodies to be the servant of our spirits. For the vast majority of us, it's the other way around. Those temptations, those desires, those appetites are what drive us, and they become our master. You know, those appetites ride on the horse while the spirit trudges along on foot. Same situation is in relation to money and material things. They're supposed to be our servants. But how often do they become our masters and they rule over us? There are far too many people who are walking today when we should be riding. Now, God created us to be kings. Turn with me to your Bibles, Genesis chapter 1. God created us to be kings. All we have to think about is the fact that we are created in the image of God, and we know that that statement is true. But as God creates Adam and Eve, and he looks at Adam and Eve and looks at his creation, in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 28, it says this, "God blessed them, and God said to them, 'Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it, and rule over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the sky, over every living thing that moves on the earth.'" Rule over. Maybe your translation says, "have dominion over." You know what God is saying? Live like a king. Live like a king. Rule. Rule over. You know, Adam and Eve weren't just simply tenants in paradise. They were the rulers. So if God created us to be kings, what happened? You know, we certainly don't have dominion and rule over the fish and the birds and the animals today. Vast majority of us don't have rule over ourselves. You know, our bodies control us. Our appetites control us. You know, what happened where Adam and Eve stopped living like a king and started living like a servant? When did they get off the horse and start walking? When they disobeyed God. When Adam and Eve deliberately disobeyed God's commandment, they went from sovereign to sinners to servants. Started walking. They got off the horse. They became servants instead of rulers. And you know what? Every single one of us, the moment we are born, we're born with a sin nature. We're born separated from a holy God. We are born servants. We start out walking in this world, not riding. But can we do anything to change the situation? You know, the Word of God tells us that we can, because just as God the Father created us to be kings, Jesus Christ the Son redeems us to be kings. You know, in his death, burial, and resurrection, Jesus Christ undid all this that the sin of Adam accomplished. He undid it. Now, I'm not saying the moment we come to Christ, we know that we still have a sin nature, we still struggle, but he undid all of the consequences that Adam's sin accomplished. The dominion that was lost through Adam's sin and his disobedience has been regained through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ by his obedience. And so we don't have to walk like servants. We can ride like kings. Now turn with me to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Here the Apostle Paul puts it beautifully in Romans chapter 5, when you get there, verse 17. It says, "For if by the transgression of the one," referring to Adam's sin, "if by the transgression of the one, death reigned through the one, Much more, those who receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, capital O, through the one, Jesus Christ. Will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Notice those key words, will reign in life. Who is going to reign in life? Those who have received God's free gift of grace and righteousness and salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. Notice it does not say we will reign in death. It does not say we will reign in the future. It says we will reign in life. That means living like a king right here, right now. I want to read to you some things that Warren Wiersbe wrote in his book. In my ministry, I've met many slaves who have become kings by yielding themselves to Jesus Christ. I remember Harry, who with his wife stopped at the church study one Friday afternoon. He was a church member, but he was also an alcoholic. Nobody knew it except Harry and his wife and a few close drinking pals. It had been going on for years, and Harry would work hard all week at his job all week and never touch a drop. Friday night would arrive, he would take off for the tavern. He'd be under the influence all that night, all day Saturday, and would sober up in time to be in Sunday school Sunday morning. He came into my office and he said, "I'm sick of it. Tell me what to do." So I told him what to do. "Harry, you got to turn yourself over to Jesus Christ and let him be the Lord of your life." And he did. And the change was immediate. He got back on the horse and he started acting like a king. Not only that, but he devoted himself to helping other men find their true kingship in Jesus Christ. Whenever I was called upon by anybody that was struggling and having problems with alcohol, I always sent him to Harry because he could help them better than I could. The last I heard, Harry was still riding on the horse and his body was his servant instead of his master. God the Father created you to be a king. God the Son redeemed you to be a king, and God the Spirit can empower you to be a king. We reign in life through the power of the Spirit of God. And then he quotes Philippians 2:13, "For it is God which works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." And Ephesians 3:20, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. If left to ourselves, we fail. But if we yield to the indwelling Holy Spirit, we succeed. He alone can empower us to live like kings." So the question we have to ask, or answer, excuse me, is, are we walking or are we riding? Am I serving my servants or are they serving me? Are we ruling over the appetites of our flesh? Are we ruling over those sins that we struggle with? Do we have control over money and material things? You know, are they our servants? You know, money is a wonderful servant, but it's a terrible master. You know, it destroys lives. Are we reigning in life? The Beatitudes show us how we can do that. The Beatitudes give us a guide into how we can do that. They explain how we can reign in life and live like a king. Most people read through the Beatitudes, and they think it's a collection of idealistic sayings. Good things to read, good things to hear, but impossible to put into practice. But the entire Sermon on the Mount is an explanation of what life is really like when we reign through the power of the Holy Spirit. Dr. G. Campbell Morgan called the Sermon on the Mount the Manifesto of the King. Manifesto of the King. And that's what it is, because Jesus Christ the King is telling us how we can live like kings. He's explaining how we can reign over our servants like ego so that we practice humility and not pride. He's telling us how we can reign over our servants like power so that we can build up and not destroy. How we can reign over our servants like appetite so that we can crave purity and not sin. The Beatitudes tell us how to get back in the saddle so that we can ride like a king instead of trudging along like a slave. And that's what we're going to look at over the next several months as we look at the Beatitudes. You know, we can live like a king if, and this is a very big if, capital I, capital F, ton of exclamation points. If we have Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of our lives. By faith, we have trusted in Him alone. He alone brings salvation. And it says in Romans 5:17, through him, through the one, we reign in life. Jesus Christ is the only king that God will recognize. Jesus was born a king. Remember when they were looking for Jesus after his birth, what'd they say? Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? He was born a king. He lived as a king in spite of the opposition that he faced from wicked men and from Satan himself. And since Adam, when Adam was given dominion over the birds and the fish and the animals, since Adam, Jesus Christ is the only man to walk on this earth and exercise that kind of dominion since creation. He's the only one. Think about the fact that some of those stories we read about Jesus, those true stories, by the way, not fables, some of those things we read about Jesus, do we really comprehend the fact that he had dominion? Even though as he was on this earth, he set aside some of those, using some of those attributes, he still had dominion. Remember, he tells Peter, Peter's been fishing all day. He says, why don't you go out and throw out your net? Peter's like, this guy doesn't know what he's talking about. And he brings in a haul bigger than he's ever had before. It starts to sink the boat. Another time he told Peter, why don't you go out and throw in a line? First fish you catch, open its mouth, and you'll find a coin in there. Pay our taxes with it. He had dominion over the fish. He had dominion over the birds. Think about the fact when he's talking, it seems like Peter's used a lot in these examples, but saying to Peter, before that rooster crows, you're going to deny me three times. Did a little research on that, and a lot of theologians believe that Jesus silenced all the birds during that time so that Peter could very clearly hear. After he denied Christ that third time, he could hear that rooster crow. He had dominion over the fish. He had dominion over the birds. He had dominion over the wild animals. There's a verse that probably we've read and gone through, never really stopped to think about it. But in Mark chapter 1, you don't need to turn it, I'll read it to you. In Mark chapter 1 and verse 13, verse 12, it says, immediately the Spirit impelled him, Jesus, to go out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness 40 days, being tempted by Satan. Right, we know that, but listen to the next words. And he was with the wild beasts. The angels were ministering to him. Why'd he put it in there? He was with, he had dominion over the animals. He had dominion over the wild beasts. Think about that when Jesus came in a triumphal entry and he rode on that colt. And it says in Mark chapter 11, verse 12, he sat on which no one had ever sat on. I'm not a horse expert. I'm not a big fan of horses. I'd rather have a motorcycle. But I do know enough to know that you don't just go and jump up on a wild horse and expect good things to happen. That's what he did. Jesus Christ had that dominion as king as he walked on this earth. He was born a king. He lived as a king. He died as a king. Yes, the only crown he wore to this point was a crown of thorns. His only throne was a cross with the inscription, here is the King of the Jews. But he was a king. To human eyes, that crucifixion seemed like a defeat. To Jesus Christ, to the king, it meant victory. His supreme act of sovereignty was laying down his life for the sins of the world. He wasn't murdered. He willingly laid down his life as our substitute to pay the price for us. You know, never was his kingship more evident than in Gethsemane, than at Golgotha, where it says he was obedient in Philippians 2:8, obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. The greatest test of our kingship is how we use our authority. Listen to that. The greatest test of our kingship is how we use our authority. Jesus used his authority to serve others. Now, even though it meant that he had to die in the process, he was obedient unto death. Today, Jesus Christ reigns as king. It says in Ephesians 1, 20 and 21 that God raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places far above all. 1 Corinthians 15, 25 says, for he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. And the tragic reality is, the vast majority of the world today, looks at Christ and they say the exact same thing that the people did when Jesus walked on this earth. Luke 19:14. We will not have this man reign over us. And because we reject Christ, we wonder why we have all the problems in our world today that we do. We wonder why the situation is the way it is. Because the mindset of mankind hasn't changed. We will not have this man reign over us. You know, mankind thinks they're free, but in reality, they are slaves. Last passage I want you to turn to. Go to Psalm 2. Psalm 2. Look at verses 2 and 3. So the kings of the earth take their stand, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us tear their fetters apart and cast away their cords from us. So the kings of the earth take their stand, the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. By rejecting Christ, by refusing to submit to God's word, mankind forfeits their kingship. We reign in life by submitting to the authority of God. George Matheson wrote this, my will is not my own till thou hast made it thine. If it would reach the monarch's throne, it must its crown resign. Yielding, giving up, coming under Christ is the only way that we can reign. God the Father created us to be a king. Created us to rule over, have dominion over. And we can't enjoy the fulfillment of our life until we experience the kingship through Jesus Christ. God the Son redeemed us to be a king. But we can't reign in life until he is Savior and Lord of our lives, till we are submitting to him and his authority. God the Spirit enables us to be a king, but his power is limited until I yield to the Holy Spirit. Till I let him lead, till I let him have control. Our kingship depends on our relationship with God. And our relationship with God depends on the decisions of our will. We can say, I love God. And if we don't live like it, we don't really love God. It doesn't make a difference in our lives. It's not really real. Solomon looks out and he says, I have seen servants upon horses and princes walking like slaves upon the earth. Are we walking or are we riding? We look at the Beatitudes. We need to examine our hearts and our minds. See where we're at. See if there's sin that needs to be dealt with. See where we need to change our perspective so that we can reign as kings as God the Father created us to be. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your truth. Lord, as we get ready to go into this study, I ask that by your Holy Spirit, you will lead us into truth. That you will direct us very clearly. That we will examine hearts and minds and we'll see areas, maybe sin issues we need to confess and deal with. And help us to realize the position we have through faith in Christ. Lord, so many of us struggle step by step and we're walking like slaves instead of riding like kings. Help us to submit to you, to yield to the Holy Spirit, and get back on the horse. I ask these things in Jesus' name.